Okay, we'll join with Todd. Welcome everybody out. We're glad that you're here. I'm glad to be here. Always a privilege to assemble together. Hope we would always count it a privilege to assemble together. And we hope that you'll get your Bibles out, get a Bible out of the pew, get your cell phone Bible, whatever. But please follow along. I want you to check out all that we have to say with the Word of the Lord. That's our aim, is to speak only those things that are found in God's Word. We begin here in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin by reading the text. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, or he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, and he that shows mercy with carefulness." In particular, in verse 5, the phrase where it says that we are members one of another. Just like we have a human body and we have all these various member parts, even so in the church and the body of Christ, we have various members. And as Paul points out, we have different functions and abilities and capacities in this one body that we're part of as members of the church. But he points out that we're members one of another. We interrelate. That's the point. We interrelate. There's a connection that we have one with another. And there are things that are taught along this line that's going to demand our interconnection one with another. It's not that we separate and kind of go our own way. No, that we interconnect as members of the body of Christ. And so that's what we're trying to emphasize, that each, International Standard Version says, individual parts connected to each other, and the Bible Basic English are dependent on one another, and the English Standard Version individually members one of another. And so again, this point, we're connected. If we're a Christian and we're a member of the body of Christ, we interconnect, and that's important that we, of course, fulfill our responsibility and our privilege of being members one of another. All right, so there are several phrases that are used in talking about this one another concept. Let's notice just several of these and look at them and ponder about them of our responsibilities that we have in the body of Christ. And I emphasize this lesson because really what came up, preaching in a small congregation, and they have an FM transmitter because during the pandemic, they would meet out in the parking lot, and we transmitted the service, the teaching, etc., by FM radio, and they still have it. But there was one young lady in particular, when her baby was born. Okay, I understand, you're sort of kind of cautious for a couple of weeks, but then she lives close to the building, so it's kind of convenient for her to just listen to the service on the FM transmitter. And I got thinking about that. And of course, you have other congregations, they transmit it, they have video cameras, and they do live service, and etc. And with the pandemic, there were a lot of people just sort of kind of got comfortable just sort of watching the service from home. And got me thinking that I don't see that. Maybe in the early stages when people were kind of apprehensive and people were just trying to decide what's the best way to go, but that's long past. And I look at these verses, I don't get it. Now, you know, you have somebody that's sick or shut in, it's a great blessing for them. No problem there. Don't have any problem if one was shut in to check in on the internet to watch the services or listen to the services or the recordings to have some sort of, as best can, to have some sort of connection. But talking about able-bodied people just sitting home and, you know, you just stay in your pajamas, don't have to worry about getting dressed up, don't have to get out of the house, and just sort of watch from home. These verses that we're going to look at, there's no way that we can fulfill this idea of being members one of another sitting at home. You just can't do it. It's impossible. We have to be connected, and that's the ones that I speak to. We're not talking about people that are sick and just can't come, or or really feeble or something like that, and are shut in, or you have an aged parent and they're sort of shut in, and so children maybe takes turn watching, sitting with the aged mom or aged dad. I don't have a problem there. But I'm talking about people that can and should be here. We need to listen to these verses, because you just don't see able to do that by sitting at home and just watching, as if Christianity is some sort of spectator sport, just like you watch the NFL from your TV, or you watch the World Series from your TV. That's not the way Christianity was designed. All right, let's look at several of these verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, Paul says that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And so this idea of schism is the idea of tear and rent. No, all members should have care and concern for all the other members in the body of Christ, is the point that Paul's making there. In Colossians 3 and in verse 13, forbearing one another. And that word forbearing, just flip it around, bearing for. But if I'm never in the assembly, I'm never associated in some way with other Christians, how could I bear for another if I'm never around other members of the body of Christ? And so when he says forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So we're going to be interrelating and bearing for and forgiving one another. Let's notice another passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul talks about those that die in Christ, that they're not going to miss out on the glories that come. And he talks about how the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall meet them in the air, etc. And then he says in verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, if we to comfort one another, if I'm just listening, maybe I might get comfort, but how am I extending comfort to somebody else if I'm not here? I don't see how we can fulfill the demands, the instruction, the ideal of being in the same body, connected one with another, with these kinds of exhortations that we see in the Bible. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. So there's that comfort. And then edify, just simply term means building up. All right, so if I sat at home, maybe I might be built up by listening. But then how am I building up somebody else? I'm not here. I'm not here to lift up my voice in praise. I'm not here by my presence, by giving encouragement. And being with one another, to build up one another. You know, there's more than just looking or listening. There's our presence of being here. And that's important, because we add to the assembly. We add to the singing. We add to the prayers, etc. And our presence here. And then notice there the exhortations in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And we'll read these together, because dealing with the same topic, and that's singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then the passage in Ephesians, speaking to yourselves. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, how can I, if I'm sitting home watching services on the internet, merely listening, or sitting in my house or listening on an FM transmitter, how can I be singing and edifying, teaching, if I'm not in the assembly? You have to be in the assembly to do what Paul's talking about in this passage. And again, we're talking about able-bodied people. We're not talking about people that are handicapped, people that are elderly, or that are just sick and can't get out. We all understand that. We're not having any problem there. But we're talking about able-bodied people that are just sitting at home. And it was last August, I was over to see one of the elderly sisters who had fallen and had broke her neck, and they put screws in, and I was over there just sort of checking on her. And there was this one sister, I don't remember her name, I know who she is, she's connected with the family, And we're talking, this was last August, and she said, well, after 2 years, I finally went back to church. Are you kidding me? 2 years you finally go back to church? I mean, I said, you just didn't go anywhere? Well, no, not really. So now if I was going to go to the store, if I seen anybody there, I wouldn't even go to the store. And finally, her conclusion was, if she's going to be in life, she's going to have to be out and about. And after 2 years, she finally goes back to the assembly. Well, that's good that she went back. But I don't have to answer for it. I just answer for me. But I look at these verses exactly. How's that all going to fit in when the Lord says, you know, teaching and admonishing one another, and I was never there doing any teaching and admonishing in the singing. Maybe I was listening. Maybe I was, you know, singing at home, but I wasn't teaching and admonishing nobody of the rest of the congregation. I don't know. I look at these verses. It's not what God intended. He intended for us to be together and participate together. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Paul says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. How can I serve somebody else if all I ever do is sit at home and sort of look at Christianity as some sort of spectator thing that I just watch it on the internet? You know, I just listen to the lessons, and I listen if there's a live stream, or I go back and listen to the recording, and that's about all I do. How can I be serving anybody else in the body of Christ? Because Paul says that we are to serve one another, but by love serving one another. How many times are you going to find yourselves in situations that you're in the assembly and something's talked about, and you know, you share some problem, some family member, and there are those that you know that are there to learn about that, and oh, what's their address? I'll send them a card. And you know, we interchange, or we give words of comfort, or we give words of encouragement. Because here we are together. We have those occasions to be that. But if I'm sort of detached all by myself in my house and just sort of huddled up like a hermit, how can I be fulfilling these spiritual responsibilities that are talked about in these verses? I don't see how. And again, we're not talking about people that are shut in, that are just incapacitated. We're not talking about that. Somebody that's sick with a flu and they can't hardly stay out of bed. I mean, they just feel that terrible. We all understand. Nobody has a problem about that. But we're talking about able-bodied people that sort of got in the habit of just watching the services on TV or just listening to and not being in the assembly. Then look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, if you listen to the announcements this morning, you listen to them tonight, there are different people out there that suffer, that have lost loved ones, that are hurting, that are sick, having operations coming up. We're to bear one another's burdens and try to be empathetic. And try to give encouragement and try to give a lifting hand, a helping hand in situations like that. That's what the body does. It's sort of like you're working and you're driving a nail. You know, I'm right hand, so the hammer's going to be in the right hand. And, well, it glances off and it smashes this finger. Well, this finger's really hurting, but you know what? The rest of my body, all the other members, you know, my feet get into action like, whoa! And your voice, and the hand's holding it. Well, all the other members are feeling the pain of this one member. And I say, you're a stupid left hand. You're very uncoordinated. Well, you just deserve to be suffer like that. No, that's not the way the body thinks. It's not how the body works. The body is concerned about this one member that happened to get hurt. And so all the body is focused and trying to bring comfort, etc., whatever is necessary to help. Maybe you burn. You know, you burn, you touch the stove, and it's hot, and so your feet run to the refrigerator, your hand opens up the freezer, you grab a piece of ice, and you're relieved from the pain by putting your finger on that piece of ice. You see, but all the members are working to bring relief to this one finger or one thumb or whatever where you got burned. That's what Paul is talking about here, as we bear one another's burdens. And then notice Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, notice there 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke, to stimulate, to stir up, as you look at different translations, stir up unto love and good works. If I'm parked at home just watching services on the internet, how can I stir up anybody? Well, I'm not. I might be stirred up listening to the singing, might be stirred up by the lesson, etc., but I'm not doing any stirring up. I'm not doing anything to provoke unto love and good works. Then he says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner, as the custom, as the habit of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more you see the day approaching. It's just part of our responsibility. It's part of our privilege. It's part of who we are in the body of Christ. That the body has care one for another, trying to stir up and to work together in the cause of Christ. When I come and I see people show up, I get excited. It kind of stirs me up. It's just something that you see other people have interest in what you have interest in. You know, on a Sunday afternoon, where you might just be sleeping all afternoon, or, well, I would say go out and do something nice, but it's cold, so I guess we'll just stay in. But, you know, we could be watching TV or something. No. We come out on a Sunday afternoon, and we assemble together, and it's encouraging one to another for all who come and to be present in an assembly like this. As we sing together, as we pray together, as we study together. These are things that we see that we do together, one with another. We are members one of another. That's what the passages are telling us, these types of things. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. In the body of Christ, we don't have, you know, the big shots and little shots. It's just everybody's just a member. Everybody's important. It's not like we got, you know, super class, super duper saints, and then we got sort of medium and then just kind of on the low tone. No, in the body of Christ, every member is important. And we should have the same mind one toward another. Every member is important. That's what this passage is telling us. And then notice there in the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 17. Or verse 7. Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Everybody is going to be received. If somebody obeys the gospel, well, we take them in. And we love them just like as we would any family member. You know, it used to be like families would have like 10 kids, 12 kids. I mean, did you ever hear anybody having like 10 kids and then number 11 comes along? Oh, well, we just can't love anymore. We're just going to have to get rid of this one. You know, give it away to somebody. No, they take number 11 in too and just incorporate it into the family and receive that one in. That's the way it works in the body of Christ. We receive one another. We bring one another in. We help one another as we work together in the cause of Christ. And the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be of all one mind, having compassion one with another. Love as brethren, be tenderhearted, be courteous. These are things we do, one with another, in the body of Christ, as Christians, as children of God, as sons and daughters of the King, that we are all part of the same family, that we work together as members one of another. We have this compassion, we have this tenderheartedness and this courteousness one with another in the body of Christ. That's what we do. That's what we're instructed. But if I sit at home and just sort of watch from afar the broadcast, the live stream, that type of thing, how can I be contributing anything? I can't. I have to be here. Need to be here. And working together, interchanging with the saints of God. And then look there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Fellowship is a term that means participation, sharing, having a share, giving a share. See, having a share, giving a share. And we do that when we came together. And as we all sang together, we're all sharing in the singing. I mean, we don't have, you know, solos. We don't have a quartet. And we don't have a chorus that does the singing for everybody. No, we all participate in the singing. And we're all sharing in that. And when somebody's leading in prayer, we have the capacity to say, amen, so be it. That's my prayer also, is the idea. And we study together. We partake of the Lord's Supper together. We share in the body of Christ, in the work of Christ, in the things of Christ. And then look at these passages. Well, we could give a bunch of them. But these next three passages all talk about loving one another. 1 John chapter 3. Notice there in verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I mean, didn't Jesus talk about that in John chapter 13, 34 and 35? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Yeah, he did. Now, how is it a new commandment? Wasn't love command in the Old Testament? Yeah, love was command in the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. But it was a new commandment in the sense that is to the extent and that is we'd be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But I think even more so of what he says in verse 35, by this, by what? Loving one another. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples. It would be an identifying mark of his people that we love one another, that there's this mutual care one for another. It's interesting, one of the Greek secular writers, as he would behold the Christians in the first century, of their manner, of them loving one another, and he makes the same. He writes it in secular writing. Behold how these Christians love one another. He was impressed because Christians truly love one another. And it's the same today. If we have the right mindset, we love one. We genuinely do care about one for another. And when problems happen and sadnesses or tragedies or hardships come, there's going to be Christians that are going to be interested in us and concerned about us and willing to help and to give a lending hand, etc. It's part of loving one another. Notice there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. We love one another. But if I'm never around Christians because I just sit at home and just sort of watch everything on the live stream or listen to it on the radio and never in the assembly, even though I could be, should be, and need to be, but I just sort of do it from afar like a spectator, like somebody watching the Super Bowl, somebody watching the World Series, somebody watching the NCAA tournament on television, and, you know, I'm just sort of a home fan. You know, I just stay at home and watch it and support the team. Well, that's not the way Christianity works. You see, Christianity is not a mere spectator activity. I mean, you look at all those verses and you write them down, go back and look at them, think about them, ponder about them. And is there any way that you're going to be able to fulfill all these things when I just sat at home and just sort of kind of watched the live stream? I don't see how. I don't see how. And again, we're not talking about somebody that's sick and can't be here. We're not talking about people that are shut in, have become feeble, and they're not able to get out. We're not talking about that. Or that you have a parent or a sick child, you have to stay home with a sick child. Nobody has any problem about that. But just thinking, well, I'll just watch it on. I'll just listen to it on the internet. You know, I just listen to it on the radio. I just listen on the FM transmitter. How can we fulfill all these passages that talk about one with another and the things that we do one with another? You know, the same care, forbearing, and comfort, and edifying, and admonishing, and teaching as we sing, and serving, and bearing burdens, and compassion, etc. How can we do that just sort of being detached and not be interchanging with brothers and sisters in the Lord? I don't see how. And then finally, let me use an illustration. It's like, you know, I tried to find one, the GIF, you know, where it's, you see the flames going. And I have an older version of PowerPoint that said, your version has been retired and we can't do that. So just pretend in your mind. Or you can get on the internet and you can look at that flame, especially, you know, a cool morning like this morning. Oh, you look at the flames and you see the fire, and it looks so cozy and inviting to sit around a fireplace. But you know what? You feel absolutely no warmth. Maybe in your mind you might think about a time that you were sitting before a fireplace. But you could watch, you could get on YouTube and see pretty neat, you know, movie of a fireplace and those flames going up. It looks real nice. It looks real cozy. But you feel no warmth. And if we just sat and watched, things on the internet, on live stream, now we can see and we can listen. And there's going to be some benefit in that. But I tell you what, you're not going to feel any warmth of being with other brothers and sisters in person. And you're certainly not going to be able to give any kind of warmth and encouragement and exhortation with your voice and your presence by sitting at home. Yeah. We just need to be members of one another and be involved in the work of the Lord. Well, let's extend the invitation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a plan of salvation that is clearly revealed in the Scriptures. Begins with the hearing of the gospel of Christ. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where it all begins. We listen. We hear. Hey, this makes sense. Jesus is the Savior. The good news. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news that, hey, we can be saved in Christ Jesus. And then we're to believe that message. Romans 1, 16, 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. So I put my faith in Jesus. And then the command to repent. The command to make that turnabout. That repentance and remission of sins. You know, that's what we need to, we've got to turn. Make that change of heart. Confess Jesus before men, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made in salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then to be baptized, immersed in water. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what we must do, is to obey that final step. That puts us into this relationship, into the one body. Then we can be a participant and an adding member, just like we have members. We have fingers, we have arms, we have elbows, we have stomachs, we have hip joints, we have feet, we have toes. We got all these members in the body, and each member's adding something. When we're added in the body of Christ, we're going to add our part and grow. Just like the little babies that come, they grow. It's normal. It's natural. We get a puppy dog, and the puppy dog grows. We get a little kitten, and the little kitten grows. We plant a garden, and we plant little small plants of flowers. And we expect what? We expect them to grow through the summer. Well, so it is spiritually that we grow in the Lord. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And if we do err, we come back through repentance and prayer. We're going to sing this song of encouragement. If there's one here that needs to obey the gospel and we can help in any way, you come and let us know while together as we stand and as we